I definitely see the league expanding over the next couple of years. I think it would be a great way for more countries to be involved in the league, as well as open the league up to more fans. I do know that, in the original version of the league, we were traveling home and away, and, like with most leagues around the world, BAL had to adapt due to COVID. I think eventually, though, 5, 6, 10 years down the line, we'll see the league played more like the NBA league in home and away, multiple clubs participating, and definitely expanding beyond the 12 teams that currently play in the league. I do hope that we see this as a way to also help improve basketball on the continent. More countries mean that we see more investment, but also we see improvement on a playing level as well as coaching level. So there's so many benefits to the league expanding. And I think the important thing is not to expand too soon. And you want to make sure that the league that we're developing right now has the capabilities of expanding that at that level, and I know we'll see that soon, but it's important to really focus on what we're doing right now and making it the best possible league for the teams that are participating in it at the moment.
Coach, the BAL has been promoting gender equity initiatives as the only female head coach in the league. Which initiatives do you like?
The BAL has multiple social responsibility initiatives, which I love. One of them is Trees for Trees, which I participated in last year with my former team, where we were actually one of the highest scoring 3-point teams in the league, and we got to plant a lot of trees when we went to Kigali, Rwanda. And obviously, one that's very close to my heart is the BAL for Her program, which is a great initiative promoting women across all aspects of basketball. And I think this really is where the BAL is leading the way. As a female participating in the league, even though I'm the only female coach, there are women throughout the organization. We have female referees, we have female game commissioners, we have female officials on the sidelines. We have female cameramen, we have female commentators, we have females in all aspects of the BAL operations. And so you never feel alone. Even though it is a men's league, there is the presence of women everywhere across the league. And I'd say it's probably the only men's professional league in the world where that is the case. And so BAL is really leading the way in terms of gender equality. I do hope, though, in the future we do see some more female coaches. That would be amazing. And even last year, Coach Caddy from Dakar University was an assistant coach for the Senegalese club team. So in the future, I hope to see more coaches. But I do know that the league is looking to promote this as well. And I have no doubt that I will be one of many in the next couple of years.
Like you, Coach, I grew up playing multiple sports. What was the spark that ignited your passion for coaching?
I was really lucky to grow up in Sydney, Australia, with my twin sister, where our parents encouraged us to play multiple sports. There's plenty of research out there that talks to the advantage of playing multiple sports before you decide on a specific discipline. And I always encourage the athletes that I work with when I was working with juniors to play multiple sports and not get too specific too early. And so my sister and I actually started our sporting careers as netball players, and it was only when we were about 10 years old that we stumbled across basketball. It was the Women's National Basketball League in Australia, and at the time it was really it had great female basketball players in Lauren Jackson and Penny Taylor, who went on to have amazing WNBA careers, as well as having so many female head coaches, which was rare in the 90s and early 2000s. And Coach Carrie Graff, in particular, was coaching one of the WNBL teams. And when I saw her marching up and down the sidelines, she was a successful, strong, intelligent woman. And as a 10-year-old, that left a deep impression on me. It's probably the reason why I ended up becoming a coach, because it planted a seed early on that as a woman, I could be a leader. and I could be successful. And so I think without doubt, if as a 10-year-old I hadn't have turned on that TV and seen that visible female role model, I probably might not have ended up as a coach. So this is why even now in my career, I try to be as visible as possible, because you never know who you're inspiring by just doing what you're doing.
Are there other basketball coaches who inspire you and who you really admire?
I've been inspired by a number of coaches throughout my career. But fundamentally, first and foremost, Coach Carrie Graff has had the biggest impact. Without seeing her be so successful in the WNBL and WNBA, I probably never would have thought about being a coach. And so this speaks to having a visible female role model to look up to. And then I would say one of my biggest mentors has been Rex Nottage in Sydney, Australia. I met him when I came back to Australia in 2013 to do my master's in coaching degree, and he was part of the program, and he had a wealth of knowledge coaching all around the world. And in terms of my technical abilities, I learned the most under him. But overall, I would say a coach that I deeply admire is Greg Popovich of the San Antonio Spurs. He embodies everything that I think is really important in a coach, placing the player-coach role relationship as basically the foundation of coaching. And I know that hopefully one day I would have as big an impact as he has had on the basketball world. And he's someone that I deeply admire and hope that my career replicates a tiny bit of what he has achieved.
Coach Mills, do you think the Nile Conference Games, which tip off on April 26th, will be as competitive as the Sahara Conference, which featured five teams, including your Abidjan Basketball Club, that had identical records of 3 wins and 2 losses?
Yes, I definitely think the Nile Conference is going to be just as competitive as the Sahara Conference. This conference has, you know, some heavy hitters in Petro de Luanda from Angola and Ahali from Egypt, but I think they've got some great contenders in Cape Town Tigers from South Africa and Beira from Mozambique. I also think that, you know, Slack comes in with experience from Season 2, and City Oilers is a team from Uganda who has played numerous times at this level, just never in the BAL. So I think each team has experience, but you know, until we see them play on the 26th of April and games start, it's going to be hard to know who's really going to come out on top. I do suspect that it will be Petro or Ahali, but like in the Sahara Conference, this is Africa. Anybody can beat anybody on any given day, and that's what makes this league so exciting. And I can't wait for things to tip off in Cairo in 2 weeks.